It is time to bring in Jim Lynch. It is time for Cover Your Assets. Jim is an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, and politics, bringing over 40 years of experience to those subjects and more. And we welcome him in this sunny morning here in the Northwest Corner. Good morning, Jim.
Just call me Sunny.
That's right. How are
and
you?
Also, make sure there's a coffee and bagel with it.
Okay.
How are you doing, everybody?
We're doing good.
Good, good. World's turned upside down a few times here since we last spoke. Our prayers and hopes are for the folks in Florida and in Texas, as in Houston as well. Been a rough one. Been a real rough one.
You know what I want to say about that, Jim? I was listening to work coming in this morning to Morning Edition on NPR.
Right.
And one of the hosts said one of the dumbest things I've ever heard after the past 2 weeks of hurricanes. They asked an expert, do you think that seeing as this hurricane turned out not to be as bad in Florida as you think, that it was foolish to issue all those warnings for people to evacuate? And I thought to myself, what a dumb question.
Well, and please, let's not forget, I mean, we're sticking stateside, but let's not forget.
Yeah. Well, the whole path of the
Mexico,
hurricanes.
Mexico,
But what a dumb question, because finally we get people to evacuate. And because it, for some reason, the hurricane changed course a little bit, doesn't mean that they shouldn't have evacuated. It was just plain dumb.
Dumb and dangerous.
Yeah.
Because there's always a few people out there who will say after it's all over, oh, I shouldn't have evacuated. And then they hear this idiot and they say, oh, well, maybe next time I won't. I think it's hard to remember everybody who came on board. There were so many people broadcasting and advising. But certainly the governor of Florida did yeoman-like duty, and he did it in a way that if you didn't wake up to the fact that you and your family and friends were far more important than your property, etc., then you were tone deaf. Compliments to all of the people, my God, who were out there volunteering and just doing their duty and really saving countless lives, not only countless lives, but saving people from tremendous injury.
Our
hearts should go out as well to the people in St. Thomas, British and American Virgin Islands, St. Martin's, who are really...
they were flattened.
Right.
I said that area was absolutely flattened. I mean, we have friends down there, and
there's not any vegetation left standing. I mean, I'm not talking about palm trees. I'm talking about vegetation that was 3 feet high, vegetation that was 10 or 15 feet high, all knocked flat to the ground like the world's largest tornado came through.
Yeah, it's just, and, you know, of course, they're islands, and so you've got to get stuff there, and you begin to focus on limited supply and the, you know, and infrastructure, and, you know, in a lot of cases, people are, you know, really just pulling together so beautifully, and that's key here, is when you realize that you're just you know, you're kind of reliant on the next guy, and that's
no
the more important thing. And
no question about it. And the devastation that we saw in the particular islands we've just mentioned should underscore the fact that evacuating other areas was so extremely important, because this is how bad it could become.
Absolutely right.
If you happen to be in the wrong place. That said, in terms of stupidity, along the lines of people commenting or not commenting, the environmental secretary, Pruitt, was asked, as things were going on in Florida, well, what do you think now? I mean, all of these storms, one after another, we haven't really seen this. Does this give more of a case for global warming or climate change? And his answer was, that's not a question you should ask during a hurricane. So when should you ask the question? When everybody's on the beach sleeping and not paying attention? Anyhow, we've got a lot of stuff going on. It's almost, I said to a friend of mine a couple of days ago, talking about the market, you know, I've been reeling with these storms and possible financial impact, certainly, and most importantly, the human consequence, that some of these things kind of get by you. Now we've got reports that Trump was probably advised to fire Kirshner back in that June, July period. The evidence continues to mount. The media covers it well and covers it in detail. I'm not going to be redundant in that score, but I think we should pay attention to the fact that we're on our way to some kind of political crisis, and just be aware of it, and be aware as you go through this that it'd be a nice time for you to check in with your kids and have them pick up a piece of paper called the Constitution and see how the House and the Senate works vis-a-vis the executive branch, the president.
And you surely saw Dianne Feinstein talking to the Commonwealth Club in San Francisco.
I'm sorry, Jill, I didn't hear what you said.
You surely saw Dianne Feinstein talking to the Commonwealth Club in San Francisco. It caused.
I didn't see it. I heard of it. Yes.
Yeah, it would. I would strongly advise that you have a look at that. Just you know, I mean, it's a whole. It's very reasoned. It's very interesting. But there's also you know, and the audience reaction. I think there was a very specific reason that she was in that she came out when she came out and said what she said. So I just think that in terms of getting information from the media, especially now, because you're going to see where everybody's proclivities lie. You're going to see the different agendas of the different outlets. And so it's really important to not just sample from where you know you'll feel good, but to find out what else is being said.
No question about it.
That becomes harder and harder. And now, of course, we have there are two fascinating books coming out today. One is called What Happened. And that's going to, I mean, the book tour is just astronomical. It's really, I'm sure there are a lot of authors who would like to be able to get a book tour like that. And there's another book called Big Tech. And Jim, I sent you an excerpt from that a couple of weeks ago, talking about how people's brains basically and their behaviors are now pretty much completely directed by the technological advances of the last 20 years. And on this day when the iPhone 10 is coming out, it's Franklin Foer who wrote the book, Big Tech. And it's going to be quite interesting because just like those wonderful reports going way back about how New Orleans was a bowl and the big one could happen, and how, you know, we read all about the big ones and then nobody, sort of humans being what they are, pay no attention until they are actually faced with certain experiences that a lot of people have been going through for the past 2 weeks. You know, what you don't think about is life without power. People, it's always, you know, the people who have been without power, now for 18, 20, 24, 36 hours, not to mention the islands that have been without power, without sanitation, without water, without, you know, again, these are things that a lot of people take for granted. And so as you get into the whole technological aspect of it, It's pretty fascinating.
Yes, it is. Along that line, in the news, Facebook apparently had been hacked, if that's the proper word, by the Russians in terms of specific local elections here in the United States last year. The Russians, as we've all probably heard countless times now, are very good at this creating false news or news that they want to be out there to put up against who they don't care about, be it Hillary Clinton or somebody else. And Facebook, when you get on it, can appear to be a very innocent kind of situation. And it does serve a great purpose. I don't use it quite as much as a lot of people do. But I would tell you, even in my own practice eye, periodically, you can see some story that just doesn't, it seems out of context with the subject matter or whatever. So back to your point, Jill, of comparing notes, figuring out what is true, but probably most importantly, when you don't really know something and somebody's talking about it, you might want to start with that old-fashioned approach of let me prove it, let me have more facts before I believe it. I think in this technological age, as we've covered before, we get into the habit of readily accepting what's on the screen in front of us, and we don't realize that that image or that thought remains with us through the day or days. If we don't address it and say, is this true, is this false, do I believe in it, is there something to follow up on, then in a way it kind of circulates in our unconscious. And you get enough of those facts and all of a sudden you're on the wrong trail, no matter what the subject matter is, not necessarily politics, but anything. Trying to bring in some numbers here, the stock market has been incredibly strong, and all kinds of commentary about, well, back from the storm, the North Korean sanctions are not as bad. The North Korean thing is maybe dissipating, IRM is dissipating. I just want to point out that some very successful professional people are more than concerned about the market and the valuation in the market. The valuation, in other words, the companies in the market, are they really valuable at the price they're offered at stock-wise? And there's a hedge fund, the fourth largest in the United States, BAUPOST. It was formed in 1960. It happens, the article is on my Facebook page, which describes that currently these people manage $30 billion. They are basically returning X amount of money to their holders of the hedge fund because they can't find value, enough value in the market to accommodate the amount of money they have to invest. Now, this is not unique to this particular hedge fund. It is unique in that it has been such a successful hedge fund over the last 15 years or so. So, you know, buyer beware. Just take a look at a major pro who can't find much value. Now, he's value-oriented, he being the staff is value-oriented, and that doesn't mean that buying, we'll say, Google or Apple or something at an appropriate price doesn't work. But the underpinnings of the market really probably are not quite as strong as the averages show. So I'd be very, very careful. The policies coming out of Washington regarding the economy are very difficult to put a positive spin on. Let's start with DACA, where basically we want to send 800,000 people back to where they were originally born, but where they didn't really live most of their lives. Economically speaking, these people are contributing productivity and to productivity and to taxes in this country. They've got X amount of skills, X amount of them are in college, some are in the military. If DACA was to be absolved, as the president is trying to do, or it's hard to figure out what he's trying to do, that would really hurt the economy. And it would hurt the economy just not short-term, but long-term. We in this country have been blessed by immigration for hundreds of years, an immigration that basically has enabled us to prosper, because folks come here and they work hard and they contribute to tax revenues, they contribute to production, and on we go. We are denying ourselves one of our main assets economically in the long term if we continue this anti-immigration sentiment. I know a lot of it is built on racism, but, you know, people who have trouble with that might want to start getting over it. If you look to Japan, which is a country that's been very insular in terms of immigration, they're rapidly running into a problem where they don't have enough workers to support the aging population, which is now on pensions. It's a trend. It's not something that's imminent. But if the trend continues, then you're not going to have enough production, enough dollars, as I just said, to support the pensions. So these are things that investors should really consider and take seriously.
Can I just ask you about the, because I don't think that there's near enough talk about this, and how it affects this Equifax hack that affects 143 million Americans, which is pretty much half. And it's not just like the Yahoo hacks where they had your password and your this is all of your information. And so I'm just, and even more interesting is if you go to Equifax to find out how, or if you have been affected, you don't realize it, but you are signing a disclaimer that you cannot be part of a class action.
Well, if you take their offer of having protection for a year, yeah, you give up any right to sue.
But this is just something I think that a lot of people, it's not being covered terribly assiduously. And it is, especially in the context of the big one. You know, this one's pretty big. You can do all sorts of, you know, if your mind runs in that direction, you can do all sorts of damage with the information that has now been hacked. And so I just wondered what you, what you would advise.
The first thing I would advise is to consult with a lawyer and have them advise you in terms of how you should proceed. I would not arbitrarily accept anything from Equifax without seeing a lawyer. And the reason being is, you've just mentioned it, there could be some very long-term consequences as a result of this. And you need legal counsel if you know you've been hacked, and you probably have been hacked, and even if you haven't had any sign of it, you should consult with someone who can advise you legally, because I don't think that you should, one, don't accept anything short term, and two, this could be a long-term problem. So that's the best advice I can give, because the ramifications here are too vast. And a class action suit is wonderful. But again, if you're going to enter into something like that, get the advice of counsel. This points up something, though, that has been brewing, has occurred, more and more. The giving up, we give up our information. It's become protocol. You have to give your information up. And I'm talking beyond the Equifax situation. This economy, the way we do our business now, has made us vulnerable to things that will hurt us personally and financially. And if we get money back, we'll say in any given case, the time and effort that you have to go through is just off the charts. I wish I could, be more thorough, but I would not want to do that, because I wouldn't want to take personal responsibility for advising somebody on a situation that could be very, very devastating, difficult, hard to get away from.
All right, we got about 2 minutes left.
Well, Cleveland has won 18 straight games.
19 now.
The record is 20.
They won 19 now. They're up to 19.
Hey, are we 19? I'm sorry.
Numbers, they're important.
God, I gotta. I'm checking too much fake news. I've got to go with the flow. Anyhow.
And the Dodgers have lost 16 in a row.
Really? What is the loss? Is it like 23 or something?
I have no idea. But the Dodgers are going the other way.
The Cubs must hold that record.
Yeah. Anyhow, folks, beautiful weather. Going to be a little warmish. Enjoy it. We'll get through this. We're a great democracy. But as Jill said earlier in this show, we really need one another. When it comes to a devastating storm or a calamity, and God love America, we all really came together very, very nicely. People of all stripes, various economic backgrounds and ethnic backgrounds. So let's go through the day and the week with that spirit. It'll make us all a lot happier, and we'll get something done. Anyhow, kiss the kids. Have a good week. Talk to you next week.
Take care, Jim.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets here on Robinhood Radio, and you'll find him on the web at robinhoodradio.com. Click on Demand. Click on Cover Your Assets.